Grant Danny here on The Fan. This show, this radio program right here, we're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condor and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It's Beltway Blitz time. We got an NFL suspension we're going to get to at 4:30. Plus, we had some good conversations earlier on with Charles Allen, council member, who joined us a few minutes ago to answer every question we could think of. Mark Ein talked stadium as well earlier on the radio this morning on 106.7 The Fan. But again, we have a good little lineup for you guys to come. It's Beltway Blitz time, though. You know what that sound means. And we're going to start with the defenders, Darius. Bring on Yasser Durant of the defenders, or should I say the Patriots. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Very, very cool. For those that don't know, Yasser Durant played for the Defenders and now signed with the New England Patriots. Walk us through that process, man. What happened? How'd it go?
It went good. Obviously, you know, the success we had this season. After the last game, it might have been about 2 or 3 days, I believe. And, you know, my agent called me and was just saying that, you know, like New England wanted to bring me in and, you know, sign me and get a physical since they already kind of, I've been in their building. So it was kind of just an easy process. Just went down there for a physical and they signed me.
This is one of those really, really cool things. It's kind of the, I think it's always something that's double-edged, right? Where it's hard for a league where the goal sometimes for individual players is to not be in that league anymore. You're trying to graduate, and you guys did such a good job this year of doing that, of getting guys a chance to shine, as evidenced by, you know, what you're going through, but also staying together and playing as a team. I'd love for you to tell me about that balance that you guys were able to strike during this really successful season for you guys.
Yeah, I think that, you know, we all kind of came together in the beginning of the season. It all started in training camp, and, you know, like, was able to push each other in the right way and, you know, just a lot of competition and, you know, knowing the end goal of this is to, you know, ultimately get back to the NFL or go to the NFL if that's your first time. And, you know, like we all knew the end goal, but we knew that we couldn't, you know, achieve that until we achieve stuff as a team and achieve stuff in the USL. And, you know, we wanted to be the ones that posted that trophy at the end, and that's what we did.
Have you had guys from the Patriots reach out to you? Guys on the team to this point?
Yeah, I spoke to some of the guys when I was there, some of the guys that were still around that I knew previously. It's only been about 3 years since I've been there, so there's still a couple guys on the roster that I played with, so they reached out to me. I seen them when I was there, talked to them a little bit, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's really cool, man. Well, congratulations to you. Appreciate you joining us this afternoon, buddy. Good luck to you.
Yeah, thank you.
There he goes. That is Yasser Durant of now the New England Patriots, formerly of your D.C. Defenders. Let's talk about some puck, please, Darius. Bringing our pal Sammy Silber covers the Capitals to talk about the Capitals. Sammy, it looks like a transaction today. What do we know about the Caps' new player?
Yeah, so acquired a... You know, maybe not the biggest trade you've seen with Justin Sortif, but you bring him in and he's a, you know, guy who maybe in Florida deserved to be playing NHL minutes, but there just wasn't a lot of, you know, vacancies on the roster. So he comes over here. He's a 23-year-old kid with, you know, great hands, great skating ability. You know, he has a great shot and he can get to the front of the net and get to the dangerous areas. So, you know, you look at a guy like that and you look at the vacancies that Washington will, you know, see maybe in the bottom six going into next season. My understanding is that they definitely see him playing in the NHL. So, you know, it's a smart pickup, you know, one that, you know, you give up a couple picks to have a, you know, promising prospect with plenty of upside. So,
yeah, and this front office to me, Sammy, has earned the benefit of the doubt when it comes to identifying players that might fit their system better than they fit in elsewhere. And otherwise, when people tend to come here, they tend to outperform their previous stops.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, with the Carberry connection, you know, he can definitely, you know, you've seen what he's been able to do for, you know, Alexei Protas and Connor McMichael and young players. So it'll be exciting to see what he can add to the mix. And, you know, management rarely gets it wrong. And, you know, the scouts that the Capitals have are, you know, top of the line. So I think it's a good pickup.
Sammy, the NHL draft looms. The Capitals on the clock, end of the first round. Give us a little breakdown on the draft key headlines and what we need to know about Washington in round one.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of interesting things, I mean, that you can look out for with that pick. I think, you know, Washington, if the right deal presents itself, you know, remains open to potentially moving it, you know, or packaging it. You know, they're still on the hunt for they want a top scoring winger. So, you know, if you can bundle a package together and use that pick as leverage, you know, that's an option. But, you know, if you hold on to that pick, you know, there are several, you know, decent options. The Caps are always going to go with the best player available. They're not going to draft, you know, by, okay, which position are we weaker in or what we need. They're going to draft the best player available. So, you know, there's a couple names like Blake Sidler is a pretty good right-hand defenseman who's available. Milton Gastrin, Bill Zonin. There's quite a few names that the Caps could definitely look at 27 if they hold on to that pick.
Who do we expect leaps forward from? Last year it was the Alexei Protas. I'm almost going to call this the Protas corollary or the Protas award, a guy that went from, hey, that guy looks like he's got some good tools to, wow, this guy's a huge difference maker. Who do we expect a leap like that from anybody currently on the roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough, right? Because there's a number of forwards, you know, that are leaving. And then you also saw, you know, so many of the guys besides Protas, you know, also had career years. You know, you can look at a guy like McMichael and be like, oh, you know, but he took it to the next level. Mm-hmm. So I think looking at it, I mean, if Anthony Beauvillier ends up sticking around, I could see him having, you know, a career year that he's never had before with another team, you know. I think, you know, you look on defense and I think you see a lot more production from Rasmus Sandin next season. You know, he had a great year this past year and he's still finding his game. And I think he's a guy you look out for as well. So definitely a lot of options already on the roster, but it'll be interesting to see who ends up sticking around.
Last one on the Caps really quickly. Do you expect them to be aggressive in going out and getting a top six scorer? They've talked a lot about that. So I guess, number one, is that reality that you think they bring that guy in? And then secondly, what did you make of the Marchand rumors, which could be related to that question?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's Washington, you know, has the assets to be aggressive, right? I mean, they have the first round pick. They have some good, you know, very impressive prospect pool. I know at the trade deadline, you know, they got calls on their prospects and they didn't really do anything because they didn't really want to part way with any of those names. But I think you look at the current roster, you look at, you know, Ovechkin and how much time he has left, and then, you know, transitioning to the future, you know, eventually you're going to have to prepare for life without him, right? So I think, you know, you have the assets to be aggressive this offseason. Do you have to? You don't necessarily have to. I think Washington is definitely, you know, a playoff team without being aggressive, but it could certainly be a, you know, difference maker. As for the Marchand rumors, I heard a little rumbling. You know, I don't think it's likely he ends up leaving Florida, but you know, it's a veteran guy who, you know, he's a versatile player. He gets under people's skin. You know, just imagine him and Tom Wilson on the same team, right? Like it'd be pretty great. But yeah, I mean, it's something, you know, Washington's looking for, but at the same time, they're looking to get younger. So maybe not the best fit from that standpoint, but would be somebody who can bring quite a bit.
I need one of those same sick buckets I get for my kids when they have the flu, if there was a Marchand signing. I just don't know that I could handle it. I would have to get over it, though, if he was productive for my roster. Is there somebody on the Caps roster, speaking of which, that we don't expect but might get moved?
That's a good question. I haven't heard anybody specifically on the block. I am very interested to see what they end up doing with Hendrix LaPierre. You know, he's a restricted free agent. I think you look at this past season, it's maybe not what he wanted and what management wanted. And I think obviously they were very pleased with, you know, how he was able to bounce back in Hershey, but he just wasn't able to find that consistency at the start of the year. And then just looking at the role in the future, and you know, obviously I think that third line center role is Connor McMichael's to lose at this point, and then you're pretty deep at center, right? So it's a question of, okay, do we keep him in the system? Is he going to be able to come into camp and make noise? Can he play on the wing? Or is he somebody who we could potentially, you know, offer a change of scenery if we get the right deal? So I think he's somebody to watch. It'll be interesting to see what he decides to do this summer.
Thanks, Sammy.
Of course. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sammy.
Good hockey week. NHL draft this weekend. All right, let's get to hoops. Keith Smith joins us from SpotTrack. Want to get to the Wizards draft in a moment with you, Keith, but let's start first with the Jordan Poole trade. What did you make of the Wizards moving the Poole contract, what they got back, and all the money, $115 million or so they'll have coming off the books next year?
Yeah, that's the big part. It's that big part there at the end is what feels really important for the Wizards, that they are now going to be major players of some sort next offseason. I don't know that it is start signing free agents and all that, but having that kind of cap space puts them in position to eat contracts, do all sorts of things. So that was really good. And they picked up a couple helpful veterans that'll help the kids along the way. They got some draft assets in the deal as well. And I would not be surprised if when they turn around and trade those guys, maybe by the trade deadline, they turn around and get even more draft assets. It's no surprise they were pulling a page out of the Oklahoma City playbook, given who runs the team now in Washington.
What do you expect them to do with C.J. McCollum? Have him be a good vet on the roster before trade deadline? Buy him out beforehand? You know, let the deal expire? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's no real reason to buy him out. They're not trying to be a player any other way unless he was really like, hey, guys, I don't really want to be here. But then you try to work with them on a trade before you would buy them out. So I think we're going to see them, both him and Olynyk, much like Chris Middleton and Marcus Smart. Those four guys will help a roster that otherwise trends very, very young in Washington. And those guys will be helpful for those guys, much like Valanciunas and Brogdon were last year for some of the young guys. That's what these guys will do. And then, yeah, you evaluate the trade options going into the year and all the way up to the trade deadline. And if post-trade deadline they're still around and it's like, yeah, we couldn't find a deal and you want to go catch on with a contender, you try to figure out maybe a buyout situation then.
Ace Bailey, how's this going to end?
It's going to end with him playing for the Utah Jazz. I don't know how many people have ever won a staring contest with the Angels, but I'm going to guess it's a pretty short list of people. I get it. If he doesn't want to be in Utah, that's one thing. But you're in Utah. There's really no other realistic options. A lot of people are like, so he just, you know, goes and plays in Europe for a year. If he plays anywhere professionally, the Jazz will hold his draft rights. And then he still belongs to them. The only way he can get out of this, if he really wants out free and clear without forcing them to trade him, which I don't know that they're going to do, is if he just doesn't play at all next year. Then he can re-enter the draft. Then I think it'd be pretty funny if Utah turned around and drafted him right again, because there's nothing that would stop that. So he's going to have to show up and report. My guess is we'll hear news by the end of the weekend that he's shown up to Utah and we start moving forward like that.
What did you make of the Wizards draft haul?
Yeah, I thought they did pretty well, given, you know, the disaster that the lottery was. Yep. Moving back to the sixth pick. I think getting Trey Johnson there is really good. I said he is one of the more, audacious players in this draft, and I mean that as a compliment. He walks on the floor and he's like, I'm the best guy out here, let's go. And it's not in a bad way, it's just in an extremely confident way. He's a shot maker. I think he's going to be really good for them, giving them a little bit of a different look from some of their other young talent that they have. And then I think the trade was pretty good value. You know, getting Will Riley in the door there, I think that's going to be pretty helpful. I think Jameer Watkins, who they picked in the second round, is another guy who can also play some too. And I think, you know, all around, this has been a pretty good week for the Wizards, continuing to add young talent and then, you know, clearing up even more cap flexibility moving forward into the offseason. Good week all around.
Keith, we like hearing that. Thank you for the time. We appreciate you.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
See you, buddy.
Talking Hoops with Keith Smith of SpotTrack. Next, Justin Tucker suspended for 10 games. Is this the end for him, or would a team actually sit through that suspension to get him on the field at some point? Next on The Fan. Taking you up to 6:30 tonight, we're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Justin Tucker found out yesterday that he was going to be suspended by the National Football League. He is going to be out for the first 10 games of this football season for violating the NFL's conduct policy. So, Danny, I ask you, you're a kicker. You're late in your career, who's coming off of your worst season in a long time.
By far his worst season.
Missed 8 kicks, right? Was 60 for 62 on extra points, which is not a given for a lot of guys. Still automatic there. But he missed 8 field goals. As the year went on, he got a little better, but he really struggled. And he's 35. He's going to turn 36 in season. So it stands to reason when you have a down year that people are going to question, is this the end of the road? Is this Father Time catching up? His first non-Pro Bowl season since 2015. Last year, he went from the most accurate kicker in league history, right around 90%, to 73%. Which has never happened for him before. So now if I'm signing you, I'm betting that you can bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
I'm betting that you can return to form after your worst career year at the age of 36. But also, I have to sit you out for 10 games. This is what's complicated, I think, for him. When you sign a kicker generally, you know, what Washington just did with Matt Gay,
mm-hmm.
he comes in here, he's going to be your place kicker. And there's kind of a binary, right? There's like a one or a zero. Either it's a guy who's like a franchise kicker, if we want to use that phrase, that he doesn't have to look over his shoulder, or it's a guy who, like, you miss a couple kicks, you could be on the street.
Right, yeah. That's the way I think of it. Are you allowed to miss a couple kicks?
Yeah.
Or not? If it's not, then it's like, get another person in here immediately. If it's Justin Tucker, for years, forget last year, you go, the dude was 6 for 6 last year from 50 plus.
So here's my,
you know,
only
what I mean? It's allowed.
The only path maybe to him being able to sign with someone and actually kick this season and have a career moving forward, maybe a team who's in the bucket of, let's try this guy out. If your kicker is Zane Gonzalez, if your kicker is Cade York, if you're in that tier where you know this guy might miss 2 or 3 field goals and I cut him, maybe you also have Justin Tucker on your roster and you allow him to just be suspended for 10 games as your second kicker, so to speak, knowing that when he sits out the 10 games, come the stretch run of the season, he's back if you really like the workout or you think he's going to be very, very good again. But the problem with that is you're carrying 2 kickers on your 53-man roster.
Yeah.
I mean, for someone to sign him, you have to pay him, and I guess he's suspended, so you don't have to worry about paying him up front, but you have to pay him good kicker money. And then he's got to sit there unavailable to you for the better part of 3 months when you count a bye week and all the other stuff. So, to me, this could be the end of Justin Tucker's career.
Which is wild when you think about that, but you're right, that's the quandary. So somebody would have to, because this, you don't just get to be, as far as I understand it, you can tell me if I'm wrong here, you can't just be suspended and not on a roster, right? Doesn't the suspension clock start when you're on somebody's team? That's how I see it, right? Like, you can't just, you don't just go, I sign in game 11 because I've served my suspension. I think it's, you got to be on somebody's roster. So you have to walk this tightrope if you're one of these teams where you'd go, I'm just making this up, in New England where they had Joey Sly. We eventually think Justin Tucker would be the better kicker, but so we'll just wait until November to have him to be able to come practice with us to see? I don't know. I don't see the solution there.
Well, here's what I've got to look up. So when he's suspended, he's still on your roster, right?
So that's generally my question is, you don't just get to serve a suspension without being on a roster.
I sign him while he's suspended. It wouldn't make sense that I could just stash him on a
practice squad or something.
Non-football suspended list, where now I only have one kicker that I'm paying, to your point, and now Justin Tucker doesn't count against me. I think he would have to be one of 2 kickers, which basically means you're operating 52 against 53 against everybody else.
Which is prohibitive, as far as I can tell.
Well, I mean, that just means nobody would do that.
Right.
If that is the case, then he's cooked. Now, if somebody can sign him, stash him while he's suspended, and he doesn't actually count against the roster, then there's actually a much better chance that he has some career moving forward. Because as a kicker especially, like, you may not want to do that with a wide receiver. I need the guy on the field. Like, it hurts. With a kicker, it's basically just like dealing with him having a calf injury or a groin or something. He'll be back in a couple of months. So you just set him to the side. You let him go through with the suspension, and then you get him back. But in a very quick time, he's gone from best kicker in the NFL to hot water in a very serious story with a bunch of allegations of sexual harassment and potential assault and other things that he has denied. And now the Ravens have released him. They drafted a kicker. That's another question. Did they cut him based on football, like they said, or did they cut him based on this? I think they cut him because of the story in the Baltimore Banner. You know, I don't think they would have drafted a kicker after one down season for Tucker at 35 years old if everything was on the up and up. They knew this was coming, so they got ahead of it and went and got the next franchise kicker.
I think it's a combination. I don't know what's the bigger piece of the pie, but
okay, let's say this. If he had the exact same year last season that he had 2 years ago or 3 years ago, and he's the best kicker in the NFL, and that story comes out, do they move on from him?
I don't know. So I know it's not a great opinion. My thought is no.
Kickers are discardable. Like, even the best kicker is not a wide receiver or a cornerback.
Yeah, I mean, this is the way that they talked about him up there, like a Ring of Fame player for them. He's the guy that's underappreciated. Like, it's the Baltimore way, right? When you think of, the guys that they're huge fans of or the way the media works up there, like, we want the guy. We love the guy that has the angle that nobody else sees. Like, give us John Harbaugh, the special teams guy who's now our head coach who's better than everybody else at it. Like, that's the Baltimore way. We want that. You guys don't care about kicker? We got the best one. Like, he's a hero to them before all this, right? So I don't know that they would have just cut him. I think the fact that both happened at the exact same time, where over the last two seasons, he went from, if you're within 65 yards, you got at least 3 points. It gives you a lot of confidence as a coach and as a team. He went 1-5 from 50 plus in 2023, 6-11 in 2024. He fell off in that way. The dude that was automatic from deep stopped being automatic even from 40 plus. He fell off a cliff while this is all happening. It became a much easier decision to make. So I think if he'd had the same year as he had a couple years before, where he led the league in kicking in terms of accuracy, most made, most attempted, most from super far away, I think he'd still be a Raven.
I do too. And I don't think he's going to kick in the league this year, and I think his career is probably over. What I'll be interested in is, do we see him working in the league in some capacity ever, analyst or otherwise? Because he was such a popular media darling.
Yeah, beloved.
Like, and to use a wrestling term, he was over in a big, big way. People couldn't get enough of Justin Tucker. He sings opera. He does this. He's got the well-manicured beard. He's on our pregame show for some reason, even though he's a kicker. And now, I think he's going to be persona non grata, and I just wonder if you're him, if you can't get back in the league. Like, I would do anything I can, scratch and claw, to make sure you kick in the NFL again, because there's a very thin line, but once you cross it, you're just back in. You know, some guys, they're gone forever. Something like this happens, and we never hear from them again, and they're not allowed to be in the club again, and we just discard them. There's other guys that do terrible things and are alleged to have done awful things, and for whatever reason, they get another shot, and it's like a footnote in their career. I don't know the secret sauce of getting back into the mix if you're Justin Tucker, but like Brandon McManus.
Right.
And again, nothing was proven. Washington ends up releasing him on solely an allegation, ends up being that maybe, just maybe, not all of it was on the up and up. He kicks last season. It's a complete afterthought. I don't know if that's what's going to happen with Justin Tucker or not, but if you don't ever kick again and you don't work in football again, then we've seen you for the final time and you're probably in big, big trouble in terms of your reputation.
Yeah, one would think. I mean, this was a Hall of Fame kicker in waiting. That's what was happening, right? That's the course he was on. And a minimum Ring of Fame in Baltimore, where, as you said, he was a hero. Like, this is one of the favorite sons. And, you know, he was going to have some pretty gaudy totals when he was all said and done in terms of the all-time ranks for kickers. Like, accuracy you already mentioned, but the number of 60-plus yard kicks made, just the way that he sort of changed things there, the way the expectations now for a kicker. He was great for a long, long time. A lot of bold ink on his page in terms of accuracy, most field goals made in a given season, extra points made in a given year. Really, really, really excellent kicker for a long time, and seems to be over.
All right, this will be a fun little game for us here. The game's going to be, we're going to do something a little off the beaten path we normally wouldn't do, and it's going to be, was it worth it? So I've got a guy here who's been tweeting me a bunch, who really wants to tell us his winning off the field. And he called in constantly when we weren't doing winning off the field. Yeah. And he's like, hey, man, what's going on? This is the time. And I'm like, oh, we've got a coach on. Are you listening? We got the Wizards coach on. He's like, I'm going to call back. And he says he has the best winning off the field ever, and he's been on hold for like...
And he was talking about it in the chat just now. I was like, we may not be able to get to it.
He's hitting us up on YouTube. He's hitting us up on Twitter. And so I think he's on hold right here. Are you the guy that wants to tell us you're winning off the field?
Yes.
All right. Apparently it's the best winning off the field ever. So we're going to play a little game. Derek's got a drum roll here.
Here we go.
Was it worth us just stopping the show and everything we were doing to get to your winning off the field? Without further ado, is this your Triss, right?
Yeah, I'm Triss. And just by the way, I don't know if you want to do the things, but long-time listener, first-time caller.
Okay, so we have things.
This is a good start.
We got things. He knows what to do. Triss is well-schooled.
Now, I'm going to grade on a curve here, by the way, already, because he's very pleasant. It's his first call. I don't want to scare him away to never call again.
Right.
I'm going to be nice.
No. It's good, man. You can scare me. It's no big deal. So I run a bunch of fantasy leagues, and I would be remiss if I didn't thank Danny for welcoming our NBA league with his cameo.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
But Ray is an attorney from Philly in our group, and he's really hard to get to, like, agree or concede anything. So I talked to him about the tush push and I got him to concede a point. I will go into the details, but
give us the cliff notes. What point did he concede?
He conceded that if, and I will tell you how I did this, but he conceded if just the existing NFL rules were enforced, that the tush push would be illegal.
That's a big concession.
That is a large concession.
That's a big concession. So that's a concession stand.
You don't have to actually have the the owners come together and vote to make the tush push illegal. If just the existing rules as they exist are, that's redundant, but anyway, if just the existing rules were enforced, the tush push would already be illegal.
So to be clear, then, you're winning off the field.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Your Eagles fan buddy acknowledged this, and that's how you're winning off the field.
Yes, and I will go into detail if you want me to. But
no,
I
think we're good. I think that's a great synopsis. We got what we needed. And I think we're ready to rule that you were indeed winning off the field.
Winning off the field?
Bruce said so.
Triss, well done.
Triss did it.
Solid first call.
He did it.
Thank you. He was going to give us more details.
Yeah.
I think we're good without those.
I think we're
good.
He's like, you see, he responded with, and then I said, no, but we got it.
We are.
You convinced the Philadelphia area attorney that the push-push is nuts.
And guess what? Now we get to say we did winning off the field today.
Oh, yeah.
Because we weren't going to be able to say that because we talked to Brian Keefe during winning off the field.
Right.
I also liked it. I mean, he was like, all systems are go. You got a social media feed? It is, look for him. He is telling you he wants to get through to winning off the
field. I know you didn't watch The Office, right? Or did you? You ever watch The American Office?
Of course.
You
did. Big Office guy.
So when Ryan Howard on the show came up with WHOOPF, which is every mode of communication to like go to contact somebody, pager, fax, email, phone, whatever, he did a WHOOPF to us. Like everywhere you can get in touch with us, he did.
That was before he hit 382 big league home runs.
Thank you.
For the Philadelphia Phillies. I got a game for Danny to play next.
Oh,
and also, very bad news for Danny as well.
No.
Two different things. A game and news that will ruin Danny's night on The Fan. I'm getting tweets now from people with their winning off the fields, Eagles related. We could do a whole segment on just this.
Yeah.
Tyler goes, I woke up again today, not an Eagles fan, therefore I am.
That's nice.
That is an Eagles related winning off the field to keep the show theme going. Before we play our game, Danny, first the bad news. I'll just get this out of the way. So this is going to ruin your day. It's probably not news to you, actually, but I don't know that we've ever talked about it on the show. Are you guys aware that Florida banned pickleball in all of its 172 state parks?
That's unbelievable.
Florida out on pickleball.
Unreal.
There's a lot of reasons for it, but
the noise is the biggest.
Well, I guess so. The signs here from the picketers and the people are basically that they were tired of them building new pickleball places
to meet the demand,
and they weren't respecting the earth, among other things.
Oh, that could kiss 100% of my tuchus. That one right there. There's demand.
I'm just
telling
you. Yeah. But tennis people are hating it too because they're taking away the tennis court time. And there's not enough tennis courts.
That's a long-standing thing. So there's many places. Many places that you go where there are tennis courts that are just alone, desolate, unused tumbleweed, and now they're used for pickleball. And tennis people are very territorial about that. So usually what has to happen if, like, you go to a country club or someplace nice, they have to build new pickleball courts to leave the tennis people alone so they can play their tennis.
Is this a potential perilous situation for your budding, lovable sport?
100%. That's a huge deal. Public access to it.
What if other states start saying, not up in here?
What if
Virginia outlaws pickleball tomorrow?
That would be a terrible thing to do, quite frankly. Again, it's just we're now saying, no, don't be physically fit. Don't be active. Don't have social time with friends. Stay inside. Do something else. So I understand you don't want to build new courts everywhere, right? But like existing courts that are unused until the pickleball people come, screw off with that. That's what I
got
to do.
All right, here's the game I've got for Danny. This is not one of the games you're going to hate.
Are you sure?
Yes. Where you need to know the answer, okay? This is a game where there is no right answer. It's just, I'm asking you if you've ever watched these TV shows or not. Very simple.
Here we go.
Okay? First of all, we could play a guessing game where you need to know the answer. Let's do that. Let's have Danny not have any fun. Most watched TV shows streaming right now on any of the streaming apps. You can all participate. I've got the top five as of the week that ended on June 7th. No typing. We're fine here. Okay, we don't need to look this up. Top five TV shows right now streaming. What would you guess? One is Amazon Prime. Two are Netflix. One is Paramount Plus.
I was literally watching one this morning, and I can't think of any of the names.
One is Apple TV.
Severance. Still.
No. These are, I think, new shows.
Yeah.
By the way, it's Bangmore. What's happening here?
I know you guys can't hear it, and I know you're probably like, what is the matter with them? Will they just do the show?
Not to bring it up. Someone's like throwing a basketball against the wall outside.
They're waiting until I gather a thought, and they're like, drop the bowling ball now. Drop it now. Now.
You think it's above us?
Yes, it's directly above me.
I think it's behind my back on the outside of the building.
No, it's Titans grappling. It's like the Greco-Roman wrestling except for Greek gods.
Yeah, like in here, it sounds like it's above us.
It does?
It does, yeah. I think, in fact, something just dropped right in front of our studio. So I think it's just happening all around here. I mean, it's so
loud.
To
me, what I think's happening, and I could be very wrong, is I'm on the very edge of the building here. Like, my back is to a window and the building stops. I think someone's kicking a soccer ball over and over again against the wall, and they're just like playing soccer. That's what I think's happening. Could be wrong. All right, so any guesses? Top five TV shows?
I'm going to say, I'm trying to remember this one that I saw when I went to watch Severance. I have a brief Apple TV window right now. Owen Wilson show called Stick was right there at the top of the Apple TV list.
That is not one of them.
Then I don't have anything else.
I'm going to go with one of the hottest comedians on the planet, Shane Gillis, his show Tires.
Tires is good, not on the list. Mm.
You didn't say Peacock, so I'm assuming Love Island's not on this list.
Then. It's not.
Okay.
Here's what's funny is I don't know anyone watching any of these. I'm just going to give them to you because so far this has been pretty
This is going downhill.
Unentertaining. Toby, do you have a guess at any of these?
I got nothing.
All right. Has anyone watched any of these? Here's a better question. The Better Sister on Prime Video.
I love that show.
You're doing a bit. I've never
Is
heard
that
of
a
that.
Bit? That's a bit, right? I can't see
it. It looks like my girl, Justin Timberlake's wife.
Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel is in this show.
Do you like her acting the most?
Very good actor.
Mm-hmm. Great actress.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Department Q is tied for first Netflix. Do we know that?
This is a show?
Apparently. Sirens, starring, who's the redhead who, Julianne Moore.
Okay.
Julianne Moore, Sirens, have you ever heard of that?
Never once. These are popular
shows?
Apparently
it was streamed 1.2 billion times over a few weeks span leading into June.
What?
Something like that. Mobland on Paramount Plus.
Well, that one I know.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Okay, so we've heard of one of these.
Yeah.
We're doing great. And then the last one John Hamm's Your Friends and Neighbors on Apple TV.
Oh, I've seen that. I mean, I haven't seen the show, but I've seen his handsome face. It's like, you want to watch this show? It's John Hamm, man.
Should I watch one of these?
I don't think so. Squid Game Season 3 comes out today, dude. That's the plan.
Top 5 streaming shows? We don't know any of them?
No, not for long. Again, there's some heavy hitters are coming.
We're the TV guys. I know. I feel like
that was very Bickle-esque right there, where it's like, I've never heard of that. Can you play that one for me? What's the Star Wars theme song sound like?
We don't know any of these.
Yeah.
I mean, but I the reason I'd save this when I saw it is I thought, these aren't real shows, but I assumed one of you guys had seen one of them.
Mm-mm. Giant gap.
So there has to be better TV than that then.
There is. So my point is, that's for everybody that's consumed everything. They're caught up. They don't care about sports. So they're just they're ripping through every show. So they've seen every Better Call Saul, Breaking Bad, Squid Game, Yellowstone, everything that you can watch, and they're up to date on the new thing. The rest of us have a backlog, right? And then when something new comes out, again, Squid Game Season 3 comes out today. That's what I'm watching next.
Here's a TV show nugget for you.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Knoxville is going to be the host of the new Fear Factor dropping.
That's a good fit, I think.
I think that's awesome.
That's a good fit.
Because you kind of wonder with a guy like Johnny Knoxville, you're too old for Jackass. You can't be jumping off of things anymore.
You can't do the bumps anymore.
Like, where do you go? What happens? What's that career look like? You see Johnny Knoxville. He just looks like a 20-year older version of Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
The guy you remember.
Gray hair Johnny Knoxville. Exactly. You're not going to be ready for it when you see him.
I could see him hosting a game show, and I guess this is like the next best thing to that.
It's a game show. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's going to be Joe Rogan. He's going to host Fear Factor, which Sneaky was an awesome show back in the day. It's been a long time. Now you up it a little bit. You put people in chambers with snakes and spiders and all kinds of stuff. Johnny Knoxville, the perfect host, I think. It's kind of like Jackass meets game show meets made for TV.
Such a good fit. You basically going, do some of the things I used to do for nothing right. As a regular person.
It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, it fits.
They are probably going to make another Jackass at some point, and he'll probably be heavily involved.
Jackass, the geriatric version.
He's just too old now.
Yeah.
He is becoming the grandpa he played in some of those skits.
I don't know that I've laughed harder at a movie. I mean, you know going in, it's not going to be the most sophisticated thing, and it's going to be so stupid. Like, either Jackass 1 or 2, they all run together. It's all the same. But there were a couple times where I was guffawing, like LOLing for real.
Oh, it's good. Yeah, mm-hmm. They got me right where they want me.
Yep.
All right, G&D on the Fan. Mark Guyon joined the Junkies today, talked about the stadium, one of the minority owners. Very rare they're on the record about the stadium. So want to get into that as we continue, taking you up to 6:30 on the Fan.